What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
What up, gang? Armageddon comes tonight.
I'm looking forward to the French toast.
What is it about bread and stupid milk that when it snows, I mean, you would think that nobody has bread, nobody has milk. How many days could you go in your condo?
Without going to the store at all?
Exactly. How many days?
15. But at that point, you're getting down to like peanut butter out of a spoon. But yeah.
On a Ritz cracker.
Yeah.
But you could still survive.
I could still survive. Yeah. Yes.
Sam? Ritz crackers go first.
Yeah.
On pasta and canned vegetables and things in the freezer alone, we could probably go well over a month.
You don't eat the cans. You throw them when you're fleeing from law enforcement. Right. We went over this yesterday.
That's true, but that's only
in the focus, please.
All kidding aside, I came in about an hour ago, and the signs are up on the scout system that say, move your car. If it is on the road, it will be towed.
Anything after noon today will be towed automatically.
And so right. I thought, like, well, if you broke down and you're on the side of the highway, like, why would it take you days to get that car? But I guess things happen, and I don't know.
Some people, they can't afford a tow truck. They don't have AAA. I've never understood that either. Why do you need to tell me 2 weeks after my car broke down to get my car off the side of the highway? For me, if my car breaks down on the side of the highway, I'm not leaving until my car leaves the side
right,
of the highway.
Right, right.
So Brian Busby is going to join us at 2:15.
Okay.
Get an update on the forecast. Did anybody see tomorrow night's low? Not tonight, tomorrow night.
I haven't looked at the forecast here,
oh,
Scott.
Oh, is that because we're going to Vegas?
Is it a degree?
I looked at it.
1 degree.
I looked at a different forecast, and it's like 50. It's not 70. I'm not going away to 70s. I'm going away to 50s.
Well, it is wintertime in the desert.
Yes, it is.
Hang on, I'm looking up the forecast for Vegas.
You guys were getting all excited. We had those few days where it got warm, and you're like, spring is here!
She's right.
It was second false spring.
56 tomorrow, 52 on Thursday, 60 on Friday, all 63 right. Saturday.
Unnecessary.
Yep. And it's a dry cool.
It is. It is a dry cool. I'm excited.
It's going to feel great.
You know, every year I say this to you, Scott, and it's going to be good this year for me to get out just for a little bit because, I don't do well when it's gray and dark and cold. You don't either.
No, I don't.
It starts to make me crazy right about...
seasonal affective disorder is real.
Right about November, I start losing my mind. That's a joke. I like the February get out for 4 days. Just 4 days. And then hopefully I'll come back. It'll be melted. And then third fall spring will be here, Sam.
Hopefully you'll come back. What's going to happen?
Punctuation's important.
Oh.
Hopefully I'll come back and the snow will be melted.
Like, okay.
All in one.
So is finishing the rest of a sentence.
Yeah.
Let's see. The forecast for us is... When are you coming back?
Sunday-ish.
23 for the high.
Okay.
11 for the low. Well,
the snow's still going to be there.
There's always the last February gut punch, and this is just what this is. And it will be out of here, and then it gets warmer, what, in a week? Week and a half?
We've got another system coming in this weekend, and then another system coming in a few days later.
Okay. Another system on Saturday.
3 weeks?
Winter.
There are still piles of snow on the ground from Snowmageddon. Still.
Well,
that's true.
In the parking lots where they took, gigantic machines and...
Check back April 15th.
Yeah.
You know, your glee... About this weather,
I love it.
Is mildly annoying,
mildly.
And I'm just being
I should probably turn it up then.
It was National Thank a Toboggan Driver Day yesterday.
I believe it was Ski Patroller.
Mm-hmm.
Ski Patroller.
What's the difference? I'm just kidding, Dan.
It's all good.
Thank you.
Today is Get Out Your Guitar Day.
Okay. Whip it out.
Simmer down.
National Don't Cry Over Spilled Milk Day.
It's too expensive.
Well, yeah, if you spill it today, you're going to have to go get more. Got to go with your bread.
Do people get paid for this?
Who comes up with this?
I have no idea. What'd you say?
Do people get paid for that? To come up with this? Sit around. Okay, tomorrow's going to be this day.
No, today is National Inventors Day. Signed into proclamation by Ronald Reagan in 1983.
It took... to Reagan to get a National Inventors Day?
National Inventors Day, 1983, Ronald Reagan.
Okay, let me ask you this. The most worthless invention that came onto the scene and burst onto the scene like something great and then, boom, died off.
What was that movie disc that looked like a record?
Yeah.
The laser disc.
Laser discs.
Because then Betamax said, hold my beer, mm-hmm. and then VHS said, hold my beer, mm-hmm. right?
Well, it was kind of the same technology as a CD or a DVD, just smaller than the Laserdisc.
Nothing was larger than the Laserdisc, Dan. You had to have like an entire... Do you remember how big those were?
I remember. I thought they were the coolest thing ever.
I watched one movie on a Laserdisc.
Well, you remember 10 years ago, everybody was going out to buy a Blu-ray player because their DVD player wouldn't play Blu-rays. Within 6 months, they weren't making Blu-ray discs anymore.
Yeah, because Netflix came along.
Yeah. Remember the DVD-R Plus or the DVD-R Minus?
There were several iterations for which you also had to buy the player or rent the player. Mm-hmm. I remember with the Laserdisc, you had to rent this gigantic, like...
And you push eject and big
in a suitcase,
tray comes out.
You put that thing in your trunk, looks like you're doing some kind of heroin deal, and then you would go home. And I remember the movie that I was allowed to watch some of on Laserdisc.
Purple Rain?
On vacation. No, they wouldn't let me watch that. That was too rated R. It was The Jerk with Steve Martin.
They're shooting at the cans.
And I was not allowed to watch all of it. First of all, the language in that is unbelievable. But I was allowed to watch some of The Jerk with Steve Martin on Laserdisc. That's how long it's been.
Dumb Inventions text line says shake weight.
Oh, yeah, that is an unfortunate ad campaign. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of infomercials with Dumb Inventions.
The movie I saw on Laserdisc was Nightmare on Elm Street Part 1.
Oh, that was a good one.
Scariest movie I've ever seen in my life.
Can we go back to the shake weight just a second? Because you know when Suzanne Summers died, they said she ended up making bajillions of dollars on the Thighmaster, right? What is it specifically about gym equipment that they have gotten into bed with like the cable news channels where they are always, always advertising something for at-home workout? And there was never one more shoved down our throats than the Bowflex.
Oh,
remember the
Bowflex? Oh my gosh.
Which I did know someone who had one of those. That thing, the one that I looked at, looked like it was made from plastic.
Have you ever used one?
No.
It's horribly uncoordinated. It doesn't work.
Yes. But was it Chuck Norris that was one of the pitch people for something like that?
I don't know if that was Bowflex. Let me look.
They also had, do you guys remember you put the booties on like Scott makes you wear when you go into his house because he's such a germaphobe? And you would slide to the right on this little mat and slide to the left. And Sam, the whole point was you can be like an alpine skier like Apollo Ono.
Good core strength.
And
doing
all it was a slippery mat with booties on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure my mom bought that.
Don't forget the shake table, the one that you stood on and it was supposed to shake the body fat right off of you. All it did was just move left to right.
I think the Chuck Norris thing was called Total Gym.
It's the total gym.
Everybody was in on it. Everyone was trying to cash in.
Well, and some of those things are like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And some of the gym memberships now are like, I don't know, Sam, what are they, 10 bucks a month or 20 bucks a month?
Planet Fitness. 30 bucks at Planet Fitness.
Anyway.
Down. And then from there, work your tricep right here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chuck.
Is that Chuck Norris?
Mm-hmm. Pulling in and up. And then the last one.
Okay, you're not going to look like Chuck Norris when you get on that contraption that looks like it was put together with a couple of bolts.
I know, but look at his right arm as he's trying. Look, it's shaking because it's so flimsy.
Yeah.
His arm or the
machine? That way you're working
both.
The whole upper body.
But of all the pitch people you would want for gym equipment, you know, Chuck Norris isn't the worst choice.
Well, and people would spend thousands of dollars on these miracle gym equipment items, and then they would try to sue because they didn't get fit because they never used it.
What was that workout video in the 90s?
T90X?
Tybo.
Mm-hmm. And all of this equipment just basically becomes an addition to your closet. It's a place to hang.
I was going to say the clothes. Attic or the garage or the storage unit.
Or in Dana's case, the basement.
Or the basement. You can't get rid of that stuff. You try getting rid of that stuff.
Brian, best, say it again.
Best invention ever, the rower.
Now that one worked three times.
Brian Busby from Channel 9 joining us in just a couple of minutes here on Dana and Parks. Oh, I can't wait for this time tomorrow afternoon, said no one in their right mind. Joining us on the KMBZ hotline, I see you, Dan, out of the corner of my eye. Channel 9 Chief Meteorologist Brian Busby, also a member of the Board of Directors for Jerk Air. Welcome, Brian.
Good to be here. What's Dan doing that you see out the corner of your
He's
eye?
He's dancing because he loves snow.
Oh, I thought he was a Lips Inc. fan with Funky Town, but okay.
Yeah, that too. How bad, when, and when does it all go away?
Amen to that.
All right. One question at a time. First of all, it's nothing like the blizzard. Second of all, they've already pre-treated, and unlike what we had with the blizzard, we had freezing rain and sleet beforehand, so a lot of it washed away. So the roads should be in better shape. Third of all, it's going to be a shorter duration. That's good news. And because it's not going to hang out as long, the snow amounts, especially on the south side of the listening area, won't be as much. We've been saying 5 to 8. I'm still thinking 5 to 8, but say south of I-70, like Liberty, will get more than Lenexa. Lenexa may get 3 to 4, while the Northland still gets that 5 to 6. Does that make sense? So farther south you go, there will be a little bit of freezing rain and sleet before it changes over to all snow. Up north, St. Joe, Trimble, et cetera, you're probably going to be all snow, and that's still probably going to be 5 to 8. It's probably going to wrap up about 3 p.m. So because it's a shorter duration, that's the other reason why I'm kind of shaving off at least an inch for most areas.
Are you still expecting it to start around midnight tonight, roughly?
Yeah, midnight, possibly even later than that. One model is going to say it's going to start at 2 a.m, but, you know, either way you look at it, hopefully traffic will be at a minimum, so that'll be good news. But because I still think the back end is going to be out of here by just after lunch or early afternoon, that's going to help because I think one model was going that it wasn't going to stop until 10 at night, and that's I don't see that.
You know what I've always found fascinating about weather forecasting is you often will say, not you, it's a collective you, the European models. Why do the Europeans care about the weather in North America?
Well, because they understand that we're all kind of connected globally, so they're not as myopic as some people can be, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because what happens on one side of the world does affect the other side. I'm not going to say that if butterflies are flapping their wings, it's going to cause a tornado on the other side of the world, but we only have one atmosphere, and there are no breaks in it. And so what does happen, what ripple that happens over this continent will eventually head across the Atlantic and head toward them. So they are kind of concerned about what's down the pike.
Are there some parts of the listening area that will not get any snow?
Not really. Even farther south to the Ozarks, you're going to get some, just won't be as much. Mm-hmm. They may get like 2 to 3 out of it. Warsaw, down toward Eldon, up north, as I say, still 5 to 8. I heard some folks going for 12 plus and 10 plus. I just don't see it out of this.
Let's centralize this a little bit. What would you forecast for, you know, say, downtown Kansas City or the plaza areas around there?
4 or 5.
4 or 5.
All right.
Okay. This is just, you know.
Western Shawnee, of course, has a bubble over it. So
well, we have heated streets, yeah. Brian.
Yeah.
And so we're not worried. We're not concerned.
But Brian.
I bet not.
In all seriousness, on the way into work, I was telling the story. They've already got the stuff up on the scout cams that say, you know, if your car is stranded or on the side, you will be towed today. We are going to start towing cars So just do all of the stuff that we would pretend like it's, I don't know, December. That's what we need to do, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, again, we're in the 21st century. It's not going to be one of those systems that incapacitates the city for days on end. The trouble is Thursday, the wind chill is going to be down below zero, so schools may not be in session.
Yeah.
So if you are trying to make those contingency plans, think about it now. Tomorrow probably won't be that many school districts in session. Thursday probably not either. But yeah, think December. And as you know, we still have, what, six more weeks before it's officially.
Watch your mouth.
And okay. Brian, we're going to get some snow in the middle of the week this week, but then we're going to have another winter weather event this weekend. And I was talking to you off the air. You said it's going to be kind of rain and then snow. Rain is different than snow, yeah?
Okay.
You know, that's true. In Izer Bay, I'm sorry. No, that's something else.
The two of you are going to burn in hell. I swear to God.
Well, because rain, it's different than snow.
Rain is. Brian. Brian, as a scientist, is rain different than snow? Yes or no?
They're both four-letter words, but yes, there is a difference.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
It will never, ever get old. Ever.
Is rain different than steam?
Ooh. Yes.
Okay.
Because that's what's coming out of his ears right now, Brian.
Nice.
Well played.
Nice. By the way, Dana, when are you going to go out and rub it in our face that you're going to see the Eagles out in Vegas?
So I will tell you this, based on your advice and your advice alone, we canceled those flights and we're getting out tonight because I did not think we would be able to get out tomorrow. That's how much I trust your forecast.
And I appreciate that. I don't think KCI is going to be totally closed, but I just know there are going to be a lot of delays, a lot of de-icing, and you ain't going to be on time.
Correct. And we had the last flight out of the night, and I was like, I ain't rolling those dice, no pun intended.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Sorry.
You're on fire.
Dice. You playing craps, among other things?
Some.
Or are you just more tables?
Some. More tables.
Okay. All right. Well, have fun.
What's your favorite Eagles song?
Hotel California, without a doubt.
Really? Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yes.
I can't wait. People keep saying, Brian, why would you go to see the Eagles? They keep saying Eagles. They thought I meant the football game that will never be spoken of again on this program. All week they were like, why would you go do that? And I go, oh my gosh, the band. There is a super famous band with the same name of the other team that we will not talk about ever again.
Yeah, we're not allowed to like the Eagles right now.
No.
Okay, and so I guess people also aren't allowed to like the band Bread when we're talking about getting milk and bread at the grocery stores.
I love me some bread.
I love the band Bread.
I do too. If a picture paints a thousand words. That is a stone cold jam, Brian Busby.
Yes, it is. But synonyms are horrible, aren't they?
Terrible. All right,
be
get
well.
Out of
we
here.
Love
go,
you.
Go do my weather forecast.
Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, be well.
Safe travels.
Be well. Uh-huh. All right. What's your favorite Eagles song?
Man, I don't know that I can name them.
Is this Make It With You?
Yeah, it is.
It's so good.
By Bread.
It's the best yacht rock ever.
So I had never heard of this. This is a true story. Before there was 98.9 The Rock, it used to be 98.9 The River. I'm not kidding.
Bringing to you your smooth
And so
jams.
They played really soft rock.
Yeah.
And when I was at KU, I would fall asleep with my little clock radio to 98.9 The River. And they played, I had never heard the band Bread before. And I'm lying there in bed, eyes are closed, I'm getting ready to fall asleep. And Sam played again. No, there's another song. There's
Diary.
And then, oh gosh.
He reads
Everything
something.
I Own.
He reads,
Everything I Own. Play
I
Everything
love
I Own.
Everything that, I Own.
Baby, I'ma Want You.
No, play Everything I Own.
I don't know if we'll have time to play all the hits.
They played on 98.9 The River. Everything I Own.
All right, wait. Who was the DJ that was the woman that said, who's on your heart tonight?
Was that?
It was Delilah. And she would literally go, I'm going to find a song just for you and your special one who's on your heart tonight. Here's If by Bread.
Is this Everything I Own?
It is.
Yes, they played this song. I went out the next day. I literally made sure I stayed awake to hear who this was. The next day, I went to the record store in Lawrence and bought this on cassette.
Yeah. And they looked at you and said, are you sure? Because this seems like 80 years outside of your wheelhouse.
everything I own. Come on, it's
is
good.
Is Delilah Nerd. Still alive? We gotta get her on the show.
I still alive. I don't believe she's still on
Someone's
the air.
Someone's loving you tonight. I used to fall asleep to that. And then every once in a while, there'd be this weird wonky call like, I don't feel safe at home. And she'd be like, we're going to put you on hold. But in the meantime, tell me who you're loving tonight.
Oh, my God. 913-586-7798.
Delilah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're on Dana and Parks. So we might try at some point to get Delilah on the radio show.
They're great music, great stories all day long. I'm Delilah on the new 94.1 The Sound.
That's her! That's her!
The Sound.
That was the soundtrack to my sleep.
But who are you loving
as a child?
Tonight?
I'm telling you right now, if you take romance advice from her, you might as well take it from Dana and okay. Parks. She's been married four times.
No, that it's sounds okay. familiar. Consistent numbers.
We're a combined four times. She's been married four times.
That's okay. Who are you loving tonight? She's like, well,
none of your 70s, business,
she's
lady.
She's probably in her. Is she in her 60s?
Let me look up her.
The question is, who am I loving tomorrow night?
She is. She is 64. 64 years old. She was born in 1960. Real name is Delilah Renee.
Good.
All right.
I loved her.
Did you hear about the plane wreck in Scottsdale, Arizona?
Again?
Yes. Two private planes. One was owned or is owned by Vince Neil, the lead singer of Motley Crue.
Now, this was not a mid-air collision.
No, this was a tarmac collision.
What happened in D.C.
But that's the second tarmac collision in a week.
Correct.
We had a tarmac collision.
Was it in California?
Oh, let me look it up. It was like 3 days ago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was recently.
Yeah. So this is a plane that was owned by Vince Neil from Motley Crue.
Okay.
His girlfriend and a couple of others were on board. They came into the regional airport in Scottsdale. For whatever reason, it went off the runway, collided with a plane that was parked, owned by Vince Vaughn, the actor.
We have Vince Neil crashing into Vince Vaughn.
Correct. Their planes collided. Neither one was on either plane. One of the pilots on Vince Neil's plane sadly lost his or her life.
Oh, God. It says landing gear failed.
And then, what'd you say, Sam? Three other people on the plane?
Four total people on the plane. Two pilots, Vince Neil's girlfriend, and one other person. The three remaining people on board were injured. And then, of course, the one pilot that sadly lost their life.
Okay, from Arizona Central, like to your point, killing one, this says critically injuring two others. How screwed up is it that I somehow feel, I don't want to say feel better, but when I saw that it was a problem with the landing gear, my first thought was, well, at least it's not air traffic control.
Or pilot error.
Yeah. If this was truly mechanical where they couldn't get the landing gear to come down and somehow they landed wonky and, you know, let's say blew a tire and like those things happen. And I think as tragic as this is and 100% this is awful.
Sure, of course.
The American public at least understands that when the landing gear doesn't come down, that is a scary landing and that things can happen. In a way where it's just like two planes just collided because someone wasn't doing their job or paying attention.
But are there more air traffic? And I don't say that as like air traffic control. I just mean air traffic incidents. Or is it just because we're paying more attention? Kind of like when you buy a certain car, you start to recognize that everybody else on the road seems to have that car.
It's the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon.
No, I think there's been more. I think there's been more.
I think it's a combination of both. I think there have been a few more, but I think it's also we're paying more attention to it. And
especially
I think,
after what happened in D.C.?
No, well, no, I think it really ramped up when we had those two planes drop out of the sky within 6 months.
You talk about the Malaysian Airlines? And then the one over Ukraine?
It was within the last couple of years, but we really started focusing on the near misses. We started focusing on the on-ground collisions where
on Boeing.
Somebody's pushing a plane backwards and not looking where they're going, and the wingtip hits the support wing of the back of another plane. That's what we saw a couple of days ago.
But anybody in aviation would tell you it is still the most safest way to travel.
Oh, I'm
and I don't dispute that.
Getting on a plane in a few hours, I don't think twice.
You're not concerned at all?
I don't even blink thinking about that. Nope. Doesn't bother me at all.
Considering the statistics of the number of people that fly every single day and the number of flights that happen every single day and the fact that, you know, we might have an incident to talk about every couple of days, mm-hmm. those are incredibly low odds of something bad happening
now,
to you on a plane.
But I think you would agree, Sam, that doesn't mean changes aren't coming and don't need to be made in D.C. I mean, clearly when something of that magnitude happens, you look and you say, okay, something is going to have to change here. And I think right. in that specific case, the helicopters have to go or at least not be flying directly into the path of an oncoming landing passenger.
And I was watching CNN before I came in today, and they had an aviation expert on who said exactly what you just said. He said the DCA, which is the three letters for the Reagan National Airport, the DCA has way too much traffic. It cannot handle it. It is now handling twice as much traffic as it was designed for. And he said, we have got to get the military helicopters out of that area.
Period.
End of story. Full stop, or whatever the kids say.
Yeah, and there's also, I mean, there are collisions, small collisions, among planes every single day. We just don't report on it. It gets reported on when it's a 737 with 200 people on board and they're trying to figure out why the whole plane just shook. And the only reason that gets reported on is because they all posted on social media.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Story here from the New York Post. The 500-pound rapper who is suing Lyft after she allegedly was denied a ride due to her weight requested a couch instead of the chair that had been provided when she sat down for an interview with the Breakfast Club radio show. Dank DeMoss, who describes herself as obese and a BBW, big, beautiful woman, walked into the New York City studio, sat down in a wheeled office chair. Before the interview started, she immediately looked uncomfortable and let the crew know it. "This is the only seat y'all got," she said. Charlamagne the God, who is the host of the show, and others then pulled a couch over for the Detroit native, who donned a one piece with a cutout in the front and an orange jacket for the interview.
Okay.
Yeah, so they had a bunch of couches that, you know, sometimes they do more relaxed style interviews where they go over and they have more of like a podcast setting. And so they had a bunch of couches in the background of the camera view. And she requested a couch.
Yes, she said that is accommodation. And I agree. When you are coming in to do an interview, if someone needs an accommodation, they are your guest on that interview, like bringing a couch in, that there is absolutely no discussion. This isn't even a story. Let me tell you why it's a story.
Then I'm going to tell you
why
it is.
Let me tell you why it's a story. When you look at the origin of this lawsuit against Lyft and the driver that told her, I cannot take you in my car. Mm-hmm. When you look at the make and the model of that car, my son used to drive that car. I am telling you now that I have seen the photos and this is all in the news, and she has outed herself talking about the lawsuit. She was on this show.
Talking about the lawsuit.
There is no way that Lyft driver could have safely accommodated her in the back of that car. I've been in the back of that model of a car. Mm-hmm. It is a very small space to get in. It is a small space in that back seat.
This is why it's news, and this is why it matters. If you don't think, if Lyft ends up taking this to court and fighting this lawsuit, don't think for a second that her interview on The Breakfast Club, where she is asking, this chair is not going to cut it, will be used against her in court.
Correct.
If the chair could not accommodate her weight, they're going to argue the car could not accommodate her weight.
Well, and her attorneys are going to make the same argument. The guys at the Breakfast Club could accommodate me.
But it doesn't hold it.
I agree.
It doesn't hold water because, Sam, and God, why does it make me so uncomfortable talking about this story?
Now,
you want everyone to feel accepted. You want everyone to feel loved despite whatever is going on in your life, right? But
yes.
I also, understanding the layout of that car,
mm-hmm.
there's just no way, Scott, that she could have safely, that's the key,
gotten into that car
and with a seatbelt. I feel bad for the driver. I feel bad for Lyft, you know, because I think they're going to, you know, they're probably going to pay to make this go away.
But back to you're right about that. Back to your original point. You want everybody to feel accepted, to feel included.
Yes.
And yes, that is true. We can all include and accept each other, but we have to acknowledge that we're all different.
There are limitations to that. Listen to Lyft's comment when asked about the lawsuit. Lyft unequivocally condemns all forms of discrimination. We believe in a community where everyone is treated with equal respect and mutual kindness. Absolutely. Look at the word discrimination. Is it discrimination if you cannot safely ride in and then fill in a blank, Scott, a roller coaster at Worlds of Fun?
No.
A third-party contractor's car that will not safely accommodate a rider?
No.
And we don't even have to make this about weight. We can make it about all kinds of different aspects of people's lives where, for whatever reason, this scenario will not work with your body type, with your disability.
Is it discrimination to not give a driver's license to a blind person?
Okay, I was just going to say, can you not rent a car if you are Enterprise? Can you not rent a car to a blind person? And what is that discrimination?
No. Yes and no.
If you're blind, you can get a conceal and carry.
I knew someone was going to bring that up.
That was in Indiana, and he was trying to prove a point.
Point proven.
You know, there was some chatter when we first brought this story up that it was potentially, we don't know, a publicity stunt. Did you know Dank DeMoss's name before that story?
No. What was it?
No. That's what he's saying is it was a publicity stunt. You didn't even know who she was.
I see.
You didn't know she existed, and now she's going on the biggest hip-hop radio show in the country.
One of the most popular.
And we're talking about it again?
And I'll point out, somebody asked on the text line, what kind of car was it? It was a Mercedes C-Class.
It is the smallest four-door
sedan that Mercedes offers. Minus their, four-door, you're right. Dana showed me a picture of her just a moment ago. I've had a Mercedes C-Class before.
Years ago.
She would not be able to fit in the back of that car.
So then accommodation, while important to me, means you provide a suitable mode of transportation where everyone is safe in that car. The more people ask me about this specific story and lawsuit, the more they say the same thing.
What's that?
Why was she filming the entire interaction?
Uh-huh.
And my response has been the same every single time. I don't think it's the first time she has been denied a ride. I'm sure if you are, you know, she claims at one point she was 486 pounds. She is almost a 500-pound woman.
Correct.
If you have had your heart and your feelings stomped on before, where someone shows up and just says, ma'am, I'm sorry, I don't think this is going to work. I think that's why she was filming it. Do I think she was looking for a lawsuit? I don't know, Scott.
But why not order a larger car? Does Uber and Lyft do that, do they not?
They do.
They have the XL Lyft or the Uber XL.
And I always bump up one size because I feel safer in a slightly larger car when you don't know who's driving. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. By the way, happy birthday to sweet St. Margaret of Shawnee today.
Happy birthday.
She turned 80 this morning. It's also Mike Brenniger's birthday.
It's a small world.
Let's go to Chad in Kansas City. Hello, Chad.
Good afternoon, guys. Nice topic. I weigh 390. I'm a pretty good sized big guy.
Okay.
I rented a car. I have to pay extra to get the car that I can fit into. I've rented, got cars from Lyft and Uber. I have to pay extra to get a car that I can fit into. This girl, this lady, just did that to get the publicity stunt, what she's doing, and then just to make it a big deal, so she wouldn't have to pay the extra cost of getting the large vehicle.
Do you feel discriminated against because of your weight?
Well, I have, and I take it by through getting hired at a job. But that's different because there's. I'm going to give you an example. I delivered propane for a long time, for 15 years. I came here, I got my CDL, all my classifications and all that. Go to three different propane companies. They wouldn't hire me because they didn't think I could do the job, but I can do it. I've proven that I can do it, but they wouldn't hire me.
You know, Chad, the one word I keep coming back to with respect to the woman and the Lyft lawsuit is accommodation. And she said on the radio show today, bigger people should be accommodated, just like we accommodate the LGBT community. Those are her words. Bigger people should be accommodated. One Lyft driver saying to her, this car is not going to work for you. Mm-hmm. Let's just get you another car. Just order a different model of car. That is accommodating.
Correct.
If Lyft or a Lyft driver had said to her, you are not allowed in any cars, why don't you walk to where you're going? All right, now we got a problem. Now they're not accommodating.
I believe weight is only considered a protected
characteristic
in the state of Michigan. That's the only one.
Which is where this went down.
But even then.
That's right, it was in Detroit.
In saying this specific model of car is not going to work for you. What if someone had pulled up and it was a smart car? You know, it was one of those teeny tiny electric cars. This car is not going to work for you. Let me help you. Just right there on the app. Let me show you. You can order a different car. That is the definition of accommodating.
And there are certain things where your weight or your physical disability, and we mentioned a couple not too long ago, where it is not discrimination to say, I'm sorry, but this is just not going to work.
You pull up, Scott, in a Porsche Roadster, one of those teeny tiny cute little Porsche cars, okay?
Yep.
And I have a cello. It's not going to work.
Let me get you another car. Let me get you an XL. We'll put the cello in the back. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.